He is the reason for the season. You've heard that, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm going to give you another thought this morning, and that is this. You are the reason for the season. Okay, and I know it sounds kind of really bad at first, because it's about Jesus, and we understand that He's the one that came, but if you stop and think about this for just a minute, the reason He came is to pay the price for our sins. And we're not celebrating us at all, but I want you to understand, you are the reason He came. I want you to look at Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2, did we all find that? I love this portion of Scripture. I love, as we read it around Christmas time, I often, as I read this, I picture Charlie Brown on stage reading this. This is the portion of Scripture that he was famous for reading. I love the story, and I want you to follow along. We get to one verse. I'm going to point out one little phrase here. I want that to be the verse that we use for the message this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you," wait, stop there for just a minute, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. They shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." You know, that's not something you normally say to someone outside of the family when a baby's born, much less a stranger. You wouldn't say, Congratulations, you had a baby, if it was a stranger. Husbands, when your wife's expecting a baby, you know, one of you could say this, We're expecting. We kind of went through that, and whenever we were expecting our kids, and my wife would say, I'm expecting, and we kind of got to the point where we would say, We're expecting. Husbands, you could say that. You could say, you know, even if you wanted to, you could say, We're pregnant. I know some couples will say that, and all the ladies are like, Oh, that's so cute. And all the other guys are like, Gag me, right? You could say, We're expecting, we're pregnant. But, husbands, if you said, We had a baby, you would most likely be very quickly corrected. And speaking of things husbands shouldn't say, we were expecting Jonathan, our youngest. Our girls were 6 years old and 8 years old. They wanted to know what we were having. So I told them we were having a puppy. Some things you shouldn't say to your kids whenever your wife's expecting. If your timing's bad enough that you happen to visit a mom in the hospital before she has the baby, and you wait around for what could end up being hours and hours, and eventually you might get to hear the announcement, the baby's been born. Now, if you're the dad, the nurse might step out of the room and say, Congratulations, you have a son. Or, Congratulations, you have a daughter. Or, Congratulations, you have twins. Or, you could go from there, I guess. If you're a grandma or a grandpa, somebody might tell you, Congratulations, you have a new grandson. Or, you have a new granddaughter. But if you're a stranger in the waiting area and you just happen to be there, nobody's going to come up to you and say, Your baby was just born. You had a son, you had a daughter, you had a granddaughter, a grandson. When the angel said, Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He wasn't talking to the mom or the dad or the grandparents. The angel was talking to strangers. He was talking to shepherds, people who had never even met Joseph and his family. And the angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Joseph was from Nazareth. Mary was from Nazareth. They were in Bethlehem because of the census. The shepherds were in Bethlehem, but I don't believe they were there for the census. They were most likely there because that's where they worked. They were watching their sheep. This announcement was different because this baby was different. He wasn't just the son of Joseph and Mary. In fact, he wasn't even the son of Joseph. He was the Savior of the world. He was the promised Messiah. He was the prophesied Son of David, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the angel had appeared privately to Mary several months earlier, he had said, the angel said to Mary, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This was a different baby. This wasn't just the ordinary, everyday announcement that a baby's born, but this was the announcement that the Savior of the world had been born. It's true when you say Jesus is the reason for the season. It's also accurate to say we are the reason for the season. I want you to consider that. You are the reason for the season. You are the reason that Jesus left his heavenly throne and came to this sin-cursed earth. You are the reason that Jesus became a baby and was born in a manger. If it wasn't for your sin and my sin, there'd be no reason for Jesus to become a man and die on an old rugged cross. There'd be no reason for Jesus to take upon himself the sins of the entire world. If it wasn't for your sin and my sin, there'd be no reason for Jesus to die as the Lamb of God. We picture the baby in the manger. When we picture Christmas, we think of the baby that came to this earth, but he didn't come to be a baby. He came to die. He came to pay the price for your sins, and he came to pay the price for my sins. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus, do you remember what he called him? He said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating a baby born in a manger. We're celebrating the Son of God coming to this earth, the Prince of Peace. But he came to be the Lamb of God. And the reason he's called the Lamb of God is because he came to be our sacrifice. He came to pay the price for our sin. I want you to understand that God was talking about you when he inspired the Apostle John to write John 3:16. Listen to this. "For God so loved the world." God's talking about you here. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God was talking about you. We are the reason. You are the reason. God was talking about you when he inspired the Apostle Paul to write Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He's talking about you. John 3:16 is about you. John 3:16 says that God loved you so much. It says the world, but understanding God was thinking about you. And when he was thinking about you, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, again, that's you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You can have everlasting life. And the reason is because Jesus came to die for you. Romans 10:13, I read it a moment ago, the word whosoever is talking about you. Of course, it's talking about me as well, but this sermon's about you. It's about, well, I guess about all of us here. Listen to this. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means God loves you so much, he sent his son to die on the cross. But also God loved you so much that he made a way for you to be saved, for you to have eternal life. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Aren't you glad it wasn't unto this particular race or this particular group of people or this particular a type of person who makes this much money or doesn't make this much money or lives in this part of the world or talks like this or looks like this. No, it's unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God was talking about you when Jesus told the parable of the treasure that was hid in the field. This is in Matthew 13. Can you turn your Bible to Matthew 13? I'd like you to find it. God was talking about you when he wrote, "For God so loved the world." God was talking about you when he said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I believe God was talking about you when he wrote this. And Jesus said these words, Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 44. Matthew 13, 44. And I want you to understand the reason I'm using the word "you" instead of "we" this morning. I am a sinner just like anybody else is a sinner. Jesus died for me just like he died for you. I've told lies. I've cheated. I've actually stolen things. I'll tell you about it. I remember specifically stealing a bottle of Elmer's glue that was about this tall. The orange lid, the little cow on the front of it. We were at TGNY, and I put it in my pocket. I was probably in about first grade. I'm a thief. I've told lies before, and I've cheated. But the reason I'm saying "you" this morning, that he came for you, is I want you to realize it's not just that he came for this group, he didn't just come for this whole earth, he came for you. He was born as a baby for you. He lived a perfect life for you. He died on the cross for you. He rose again for you. And look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. While the Bible doesn't say this specifically, it describes it so very well that I just believe this verse is also about you because it talks about what Jesus did. Look at this. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." All right, I'm breaking loose. I'm just going to come over here and scare you a little bit. Can you picture this story? Brother Dye, I got out of the corner, okay? Brother Dye came to the church. He came this morning. He said, "Pastor, I'm leaving the church." He said, "You moved your pulpit to the corner. I'm not staying here." Picture this. You're walking through a field. We used to have lots of fields around whenever I was a kid. We'd walk through these fields. We had to shoot BB guns in the fields. You're walking through the field, and as you're walking through the field, you trip over something, and you start to clear away the dirt, and you find that there's a treasure there, a buried treasure in the field. The problem is the treasure's not yours, and the field isn't yours either. So you rebury the treasure, right? Because you're honest, right? Okay, so you rebury the treasure. And you go and you find out who owns that field. And you find the owner of the field, and you don't tell him about the treasure, but you're honest and you offer to buy the field. So he gives you a price for the field, and it's way more than you can pay. So you go back and you sell everything that you have. You sell your car. You sell your house. And you make the hardest decision of all. And you sell your cell phone. You sell everything that you have, and you come back, and you offer everything that you have. You don't have anything left, and you offer everything that you have, and you say, "Would you take this for the field?" And the man says, "I'll take that for the field." You give everything that you have to the owner of that field so that you can come and you can purchase the field and become the owner of the treasure. I want you to understand, you are the treasure. Who else besides Jesus ever left all they had to purchase something as valuable as you? No one ever left more behind. No one ever sacrificed more. No one ever more willingly and more joyfully walked away from everything they had than Jesus did when he left heaven to become the full and complete sacrifice for your sins. Who left more? Whoever gave more, nobody ever has. Listen, you are the treasure. So yes, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And John 3:16 was written to you because God loves you so much. He sent His Son to die on the cross and pay for your sins. And Romans 6:23 was written to you for God. I'm sorry, Romans 10:13, for God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was written to you. If you would trust Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. And I believe with all my heart, this was written to you because Jesus came to this earth. He gave everything He had. He left heaven. He left everything He had, came to this earth and bought you. He died on the cross and paid for you. You are the reason Jesus came to this earth as a baby. You're the reason He lived a life without sin. You're the reason He died on a cross in victorious shame. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." The Bible says He cried it out with a loud voice. It's just an amazing thing. He had been beaten. He had been whipped. He had lost so much blood. He'd been hanging on the cross, and it's right before He died. But the Bible says right before He died, He cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." He chose to die. We couldn't have taken His life from Him. He was the Son of God, but He chose to die. He said, "It is finished." And when He said that, I believe He was looking through time and He saw your face. And He knew your name. And He willingly suffered in your place as your substitute. You are the reason that He gave His life. You are the reason that He suffered and died. Would you accept God's free gift of eternal life today? That's it. That's simple. You're the reason He came. You're just like I am. We're all sinners. We all deserve to be punished for our sin. God's punishment for sin is to send sin and anybody who's rejected Him to a place called hell. But God loved you so much. Died on the cross. Paid the price for your sin. So the question is, will you accept God's free gift? Not just of His Son Jesus, but of eternal life. He paid for it, and He offers it to you today. If you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you recommit to live every day for Him? You are the reason He gave His life. You are the reason He suffered and died. Merry Christmas. The term Merry Christmas, saying Merry Christmas, has a wonderful new meaning when you remember why Jesus came. When you say Merry Christmas, instead of picturing the baby in the manger, which is not wrong, but instead of picturing the baby in the manger, when you say Merry Christmas, when you picture the Son of God dying on the cross, you realize that's why He came. Father, I pray that You would use this simple message this morning to work in somebody's heart. What an amazing truth. You didn't come to save a religious group. You didn't come to save a nationality. You came to save an individual. You came for each one of us. And You died on the cross and You suffered and You paid the price for sin for every single person here today. And Lord, I pray that every single person here today would trust You as their Savior. They wouldn't trust being good. They wouldn't trust going to church. But they would simply trust Jesus Christ dying on the cross and forgiving their sins as complete payment for their sins. And they would trust You to save them today.